certainly appreciate that challenge that our brother Bristow has given us this morning concerning the need for getting out the gospel and the need for telling the gospel to others. What a privilege is ours. When I thought of the expense of how much a Bible costs to print it, and the New Testament, how much it costs to print it, and then you get the Proverbs and the Psalms as well. I'm reminded of our brother Jeffrey Bull when he was taken captive in China. And they took his Bible away. He said, I didn't know it would be over 3 years before I held that precious book in my hand again. And when you think of that nice little Bible that's given to our children in the fifth grade, what a privilege it is to be a partaker in being able to give for the work of getting the gospel into the hands of men. The Word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I thank God for their work. Remember them as you leave. Brother Hill and Brother Bailey will be at the doors with a basket. May the Lord bless you for giving. Now let's pray together. Father, now as we turn to thy precious word, we ask you to use thy word in each life. Calm our hearts in thy presence. Give us something from yourself. May the words of our mouths and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight. For the Lord Jesus' sake, amen. I invite you to turn to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, and we want to deal this morning with a final woe in this second chapter. Habakkuk 2, verse 18 through verse 20. Where we read, what profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image, and the teacher of lies that the maker of this work trusteth therein to make dumb idols? Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, and to the dumb stone, arise. It shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath of all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. This morning we examine the last of the woes of Habakkuk chapter 2. And you'll notice Habakkuk is the prophet. In chapter 1, he's sighing before God. In chapter 2 or in chapter 3, he's singing before God. And what leads from a sigh to a song? And that is, he's silent before God. In chapter 2, the prophet is in his watchtower, and God is speaking, and he is listening. And God has a message. His message is found basically in the fourth verse of chapter 2, where we read, the just shall live by his faith. And then he pronounces woes upon the bitter and hasty nation of Babylon, who's overrunning all the countries round about Israel, and they're going to overrun them as well. And these woes proceed from the pride of heart. And pride is the very opposite of faith, according to verse 4. And you'll notice in that fourth verse, it says, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. The Babylonians were addicted to pride and the worship of idols. Their soul is not upright in them. But in contrast to that, the just shall live by faith. Babylon is the country, the nation that took Judah into captivity. And they were a nation that was addicted to idolatry. They worshiped many gods. In fact, if you read that well-known book by Alexander Hislop called The Two Babylons, you find that all idolatrous worship originated there in that part of the world, the Babylonian area between the Nile or between the Euphrates and the Tigris River. They worshiped many gods, and of course, as they were going forth conquering, they attributed their victories to the God that they worshiped. And God in this chapter is pronouncing woes upon them. Now, this morning, we want to talk about idolatry. How do you define idolatry? What is it? Well, you may say very simply, it's the worship of idols. But God's Word gives us a definition for idolatry. It is found in Romans chapter 1 and verse 25, where we read that they, the heathen, exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. A worship of the creature rather than the Creator is idolatry. That fits with the second commandment. The second commandment says, thou shalt make unto thee any graven image, the likeness of anything in heaven above, or the earth beneath, or in the waters under the earth. God said, it's wrong. God said, it is idolatry. All that we see is that which has been created. That's what we see. And everything that man has made is a result of God's creation. And to worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator is idolatry. This is what Lucifer did. In Isaiah chapter 14, he was worshiping himself, and he uttered those five I wills that caused him to be cast out of heaven. He said, I will be like the Most High. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will, he said it five times. But God said, no, you won't. And God cast him out. He said, I will ascend. But God said, no, you won't. And by the way, this is what the serpent offered to Eve in the Garden of Eden. He said, you'll be like God. The problem was, they were already like God. They were made in the image and likeness of God. That's how God created them. And when they listened to Satan, they became unlike God or ungodly. Idolatry is a wicked thing. Idolatry, according to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, is a sin of the flesh. It is listed among the works of the flesh, where he says, now the works of the flesh are these. And idolatry is there. The flesh loves idolatry. The flesh loves it. Because when you worship and serve the creature, you are worshiping and you are serving yourself. And you and I are living in a day of self-worship, we are living in an idolatrous generation. If you and I have to walk over others to get where we want to go, that's the spirit of our age. Take care of number one, yourself. That's the spirit of the age, and it doesn't matter who you have to tread on to get where you want to go. The song of idolatry is, glory to myself in the highest. That's idolatry's song. Now, idolatry has its effects. What are the effects of idolatry? Well, here in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 18, you will notice there's a picture given there in verse 18 of a man making idols. He says, what profiteth a graven image when the maker thereof hath graven it? The molten image, and the teacher of lies, the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols. Now, it doesn't matter what the idol is made of. He speaks of the carved image in that verse. The carved image was in all probability made of wood. Then he speaks of the engraved image. The engraved image was probably made of stone, a little more substantial. And then he speaks of the molten image. That was probably made of metal. And a lot of wooden images also had pieces of metal and overlaid with metal. You see, so they were combined. Some of these images were combined. Wood, stone, and metal, all these different kinds. A person makes an image. A person who was made in the image and likeness of God makes an image, and then he worships it. Now think of the stupidity of it all. Remember, I always have to smile when I think of this. Remember when Jacob stole away from his uncle Laban? You see, Jacob is a man who lived by the adage, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. And Jacob had gotten quite wealthy in Padan Aram in the land with his uncle Laban. And he stole away with his wives by night. And his favorite wife stole the household gods. And Laban went after him and he overtook him. Imagine running after your God, number one. To worship something that you have to run after and grab, and you can set on a shelf. But number two, what's worse, you remember Rachel would not get off her camel, and she hid the idols in the camel. Imagine worshiping a God you can sit on. The stupidity of idolatry. You see, verse 18 tells us that the molten image is a teacher of lies. It's a teacher of lies. God had given his word in verse 4, the just shall live by faith. By faith in whom? By faith in the God who redeemed them from Egyptian bondage. By faith in the God who brought them through the wilderness and into the land of promise. But here is a man who himself makes an image, and then he falls down and worships it. The problem is, the image that he makes is dead. That dead image can't do anything. Turn to the 115th Psalm. Psalm 115. This is one of my favorite psalms. You see, an image is something you can see. And that's so important to people. God's word says, thou shalt not make any graven image like unto anything in heaven above. The starry hosts. In the earth beneath, the things that we see in earth. Or the waters under the earth, things that we can see. Psalm 115 says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now your God? When the Babylonians and the Assyrians came, where's your God that's going to protect you? We have ours with us. They had their God with them. Where's yours? And we're stronger than you. We're overrunning you. See, that's a picture in Habakkuk chapter 2. This bitter and hasty nation were overrunning a people who worshipped a God they couldn't see. And they had a God they could see. Where is now your God? That's the question that's asked there. But, oh, I love the third verse. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And now, beginning in verse 4, you have the ridicule of their gods. Notice it. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They are mobs, but they speak not. The last verse we read this morning was this. God is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. God speaks, and God said, the just shall live by faith. The idols have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. But here's the important verse. Verse 8. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone who trusteth in them. We who are made in the image of God, who worship God, have a blessed hope. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. The purpose of God in redemption is to restore what was lost in the Garden of Eden. Man was made in the image and likeness of God, but he fell. But through the great redemption in Christ, as the 69th Psalm and the 4th verse says, then restored I that which I took not away. And the little word then has reference to when he was sinking in deep mire, when he was enduring all the ignominy of the cross on Calvary's hill. It was then that he restored that which he took not away. And to those of us who have trusted Christ, we can say with Peter, whom having not seen, we love. And though we see him not, yet we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Where is now thy God? Is your God one that can be seen? Or have you trusted him by faith? Whom having not seen, we love. Our brother was telling us a story this morning about the young Japanese lady. Dr. Barnhouse, after World War II, was in Japan, and he was making an airline reservation, and he thought he'd speak to the receptionist, and he spoke to the young lady, and she happened to be Chinese. And he said, what are you? And she said, I'm a Buddhist. He said to her, do you love Buddha? She said, what? He said, do you love Buddha? She said, no, I don't love Buddha. But I ask you a question this morning. You show me any person who has ever been to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You ask them if they love him. And in the affirmative, without ever thinking twice, they say, yes, I love him. And the reason I love him is because he first loved me. What does idolatry do for people? It does three things. It gives them a false sense of security. Number two, it causes that person to trust in lies. That's what our text says in Habakkuk chapter 2. They trust in lies. Furthermore, they are enabled to make a God of their own and worship it. They can have it their way. Now let's apply these truths this morning. Application number one is a question. What kind of idols do we have today? Well, you see, I'm not going to make a list today. I'm not going to mention anything that's an idol. You see, there's certain things that go through your mind immediately. They go through mine that are idols today. I'm just going to ask a few questions. And then you determine what the idols are as I ask these questions. Question number one, for what are you working or living? You see, the answer to that question is a test of your devotion. For what are you working or living? Second question. What do you trust? What do you really trust? The answer to that question determines what are you depending on? When difficulties arise, to whom do you turn? Question number three. What gives you the most pleasure in life? Oh, we know the answer to that. GACC tournament, isn't it? What gives you the most pleasure in life? The answer to that is the test of your delights. What did the psalmist say? Oh, how love I thy law. It's my meditation night and day. Question number four. What guides you when you make decisions? The decisions that you make. And you see, we have to make them quite often. You see, this is a decision test. When I have to really choose between the things of God and the things of the world. Who gets the nod? Question number five. What are you really looking forward to? That's a destiny question. To the child of God, the end is glory. Like Christ, they that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. Application number two. God always has the last word. That's what we read in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20. But the Lord, Jehovah, is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. Instead of a person talking to a silent idol, an idol that has a mouth but can't speak, can't say anything back, we have God speaking. He's not an idol. God is speaking and he's telling us to be quiet and to listen. In the 46th Psalm, he says, be still and know that I am God. Oh, to be silent in the presence of God, to have his word open, and to have God speak to us through the Word of God. Be still and know that I am God. We sing that hymn occasionally, the second stanza, 424 in our books. Jesus calls us from the worship of this vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us saying, Christian, love me more. It's interesting, isn't it, that the first epistle of John, the epistle that tells us and gives us a test whereby we know that we have eternal life, whereby we can know that we're truly saved. The tests are there. And then he says, these things, these various tests, have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Isn't that great? What's the last verse of 1 John? We ought to quote it together. My little children, keep yourselves from idols. Jesus calls us from the worship of this vain world's golden star, from each idol that would keep us. Say in Christian, love me more. Where is not I God? Where is your God? Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased. Our God says, be still. Know that I'm God. I'm in my holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before me. If we had to sit still and keep silent for 20 minutes, the silence would be deafening. We're so used to activity. We spend very little time just contemplating how great our God is. May God speak to us through His Word. Let's sing together the first stanza of number 424 in our hymn book. 424, Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day His sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. So just sing the first stanza, because in our hymn books, the second stanza is part of the first. Let's stand together and sing. Challenge of the Word of God, and now we want to thank you for the privilege of giving to this organization that so graciously places these Bible in strategic places. Now we want to thank you also for your Word. Help us, O God, not to be hearers only, but to be doers, in order that our lives may radiate with the gospel of Christ, and with the joy of the Lord, and that anticipation of being like Him, whom having not seen we love, and though now we see Him not yet believing, the just shall live by faith, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We commend this company to you, and to the word of your grace, which is able to build us up and give us an inheritance among all that are sanctified, through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.